Hello, I'm Michael Steve from Kaplan Financial, and in this podcast, I'd like to talk about the tax and NIC treatment of termination payments. This can be a difficult area, and although we've talked about them in the past, I'd like to briefly revisit them. Let's start by getting technical for a bit. The tax treatment of earnings from employment is covered in ITPA 2003, that's the Income Tax Earnings and Pensions Act. It starts in Section 6. Section 6 of ITPA charges income tax on, big phrase here, earnings from employment. And it defines taxable earnings, keyword there taxable, as salaries, wages, fees, gratuities, profits, incidental benefits of any kind, or anything else that constitutes, another key phrase here, an emolument of the employment. Oh dear. That then takes us on to Section 62. Under Section 62 of ITPA, most payments received by employees on the termination of their employment will be subject to tax if the payments are made under their contracts of employment. By way of a contrast, when an employer makes a payment to an employee at termination because of the employment relationship, but the payment is not made for services rendered and does not constitute earnings, then such a payment is not dealt with under Section 62. Instead, we have to go to the all-important rules in Section 401. Now, Section 401 is the one that everybody sort of knows because it contains the magic £30,000 number. But let's stay techie just for a little while. These payments are exempt from the income tax charge under Section 401 if they fall as follows. The first £30,000 of any qualifying payment. Any payments in respect of death, injury, or disability. Any contributions by an employer to a registered pension scheme. And finally, and I'll briefly mention this one, payments relating to employments with a substantial element of foreign service. So, pulling the strings together, Section 401 takes outside the scope of income tax payments that would otherwise be taxable. So let's look at some situations and then we'll try and take them into practical examples. The first is redundancy. Statutory redundancy payments are always exempt from tax. By the way, that's in Section 309. But they do use either part of or all of the magic £30,000 number. Just occasionally, employers pay for outplacement counselling services. And these are not taxable and therefore do not use up any part of the £30,000 exemption. It's common enough for employers to pay lump sum payments that are in excess of the statutory redundancy pay, and these are broadly covered by Section 401, provided it's genuinely made on account of the redundancy. That is, it's to compensate for loss of employment rather than some other form of terminal bonus. If you do make one of these payments as an employer, it's best to have a clear record of the rationale behind this non-statutory payment. A payment worked out, for example, by reference to a certain number of years of service would be easier to justify than to say an arbitrary lump sum. Now, the next situation is to look at compensation for breach of contract. Oh dear, that's getting a bit legal, isn't it? But a payment made to compensate an employee for an employer's breach of contract, and a good example there would be dismissal before the time stated in a contract of service. If that's not made in return for services, it will therefore fall within Section 401. but it must be a genuine compensation payment, i.e. something that the employee receives instead of something that he's entitled to. The next heading we need to briefly consider are the good old-fashioned pylons, and that stands for payments in lieu of notice. Now, the tax treatment of pylons is something like this. Where you've got a contract of employment that contains a provision that enables payment to be made in lieu of the notice period, it will be fully taxable. That's, of course, because it's within the contract. It's expected. Equally, where an employer by custom and practice makes pylons, even though they're not within the contract, then, again, that's going to be taxable as earnings. So we'll come back to that when we consider a couple of practical examples. Sometimes you hear the phrase gardening leave. What on earth is that? Well, that's a payment of a salary, or even a bonus come to that, and it's where the employee basically goes home and serves out their notice period while not actually performing any of the duties. Now, that is taxable in full, and you can't claim the first $30,000 under Section 401. Sometimes, too, an employer on the termination of an employment will make payments into pension schemes. And here, you need a little bit of care. If it's payment into a registered scheme, then that's going to be okay. But if it's a payment into a non-registered pension scheme, that is likely to be treated as taxable. So care needs to be taken in this area. The last situation I'd like to have a look at is payments in relation to restrictive covenants. Just sometimes, an employer will make a payment to a departing employee, in return for which the departing employee will undertake not to compete with his or her ex-employer. For example, they may agree not to work within a certain geographical area or for a certain time. Now, these generally are taxable. They're taxable under Section 225 of ITPA as employment income for the year of payment. And it's important to appreciate that the £30,000 limit does not apply in these circumstances. Finally, then, what about the national insurance? Well, that's fairly straightforward. The next treatment of termination payments follows the tax. So if a payment is taxable, generally it will be earnings. That's the key word, remember, for NIC, earnings, and will be subject to tax. But if the payment falls under the all-important Section 401, then it will not be taxable. And here's the immediate point. It won't be nickable as earnings either. Okay, let's have a look at some practical examples. Supposing one of your clients says to you, oh, we've got some shops, but we're having to close one of them down, and we're sadly going to have to make some staff redundant. Now, they're going to receive their statutory redundancy pay, and because we're going to close immediately to save money, we're also going to be making them a payment in lieu of notice. And all the staff would normally be on a 1 month notice period. Now, how does that work for tax and NICs? Well, statutory redundancy pay, as we've just said, is exempt from income tax and it's not regarded as earnings for NICs either. So that's pretty good, statutory redundancy pay. The payment in lieu of notice, the pylon, will normally not be treated as earnings because it doesn't represent payment for work done, but it's a form of compensation. But just to sound the warning trumpet here, the one we've said before, that if the entitlement to the pylon is included in the contract or is paid by way of customer practice, it will be fully taxable. But assuming that that's not the case, then the payment would not be taxable and would only be taxable to the extent that it exceeded the £30,000 limit. The next treatment also follows the income tax treatment, as we said, and pylons are not regarded as earnings unless there is a contractual entitlement. But supposing in this shop closure, some of the individuals have been with the company for some years and they would like to make some additional non-contractual payments to them. Maybe there's a manager and some senior employees as well as more junior employees. How does that actually work? So, non-contractual lump sums. Supposing we've got the normal employees, think of a number here, maybe not exceeding £10,000 a year, and the manager, say, receiving a £20,000 ex gratia payment. And let's add one last element to the mix. Let's assume that the manager and one of the employees will also be allowed to keep their company cars, and let's value those, round sum here, £5,000. How does all that work? Well, ex gratia payments made on the termination of employment are not usually treated as earnings, providing that there's no expectation by the employees that these payments will be made. But the payments will be taxable, although the first £30,000 is always tax-free. Statutory redundancy payments and the pylons must be included when calculating the excess over £30,000. So we stack it up like a column. We put in the statutory redundancy pay, then the pylons, then the ex gratia payments. Oh, and by the way, we need to include the value of any benefits passed. So if the manager, who's getting a fairly large lump sum payment, £20,000, and he's keeping his car, which we said had a value of £5,000, then it's pretty likely, at least in his case, that he will have exceeded the £30,000 limit, in which case it's the excess over 30 that's taxable. The other people receiving the less generous lump sums, pretty likely, once you've stacked up the statutory redundancy pay, the pylons and the ex gratia lump sums, in most cases they're unlikely to go over £30,000. Okay, let's consider as we draw to a close here one or two other possible scenarios. Supposing we've got somebody who had an accident at work and they now had to retire with a slight disability. And because they're being paid off or taking early retirement, we're making them a one-off lump sum payment of, say, first number here that comes into my head, £35,000. Now, how is that treated for tax? Well, you'll remember that under Section 401, that all-important section of ITPA, that a payment made to an employee in respect of termination on account of disability is fully exempt from tax. So, no tax liability there for our slightly disabled employee. But to finish with, let's look at this scenario. Supposing we hired somebody, didn't find them particularly good, and we fired them, and they took us to an industrial tribunal, and the tribunal has awarded the ex-employee a compensation sum of, say, £10,000 for unfair dismissal. How is that treated? Well, a payment of damages, and in legal terms, that's what it actually is, in respect of an unfair dismissal claim, is usually taxable, but it's within the £30,000 exemption. Now, as our payment is below that, then it's going to be completely exempt. And the payment will not be treated as earnings for Class 1 NICS purposes. So as we see, termination payments can be complex. They aren't automatically within the £30,000 rule in Section 401. We need to look carefully at all the circumstances and exercise our judgment accordingly. See you soon. Cheerio.